But you have to realize storms are necessary for Florida to get the water table back up. Because we're so hot down here, we dry up all of our water, and that's one of the sinkholes. And so we need the storms. And so we don't want to pray the storm away. We just want it to come in and deposit the water and without tearing everybody's property up or hurting anybody. Amen. Amen. Sunday, we'll have a person here for voter registration. So if you're not registered to vote, you should be by now. But if you're not, register to vote. And if you are saying, well, I don't like anybody, I ain't going to vote anyway, you talk to me. Because I'm going to tell you, that's not the Christian thing to do. You need to vote. You need to vote. And so anyway, you need to register to vote and you need to vote. Okay, well, that's not what I want to talk to you about tonight. I'll get off on that and preach another whole sermon. I want to talk to you about spirit, soul, and body. And that seems to open up a lot of interesting things here with people's understanding. See, God created man. When he created man and he created woman, he actually called man and woman, he called them both Adam. He called them Adam. When God created mankind, he created him in his likeness, the Bible says. What is God's likeness? God is spirit. God is a spirit, okay? He doesn't have a body except for Jesus now, but I'm just talking about when God created man, he created him in his likeness. He created man to be a spirit. Man is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives in a body while he's here on earth because you have to have a body to function. And so God created us in his likeness, and then he created Adam, he created the man, and then he created him a helpmate called Whoa Man. And when Adam saw her, he said, Whoa Man. That's not true. I'm just making that up. It actually means womb man or man with a womb. That's really what it means. But I just, that's just what I do. Couldn't resist. That's right. So man's spirit, created in the likeness of God's spirit, and he put him on this planet in the midst of this universe where there's all kinds of galaxies and other planets, and of all the things he chose this Milky Way, and he chose this little blue planet called Earth, and he put man here on this little planet, and he said, I'm giving it to you, and I want you to rule over it. I want you to rule over it. I'm giving it to you. You have dominion over this thing, over all the creatures, everything. You've got, it's yours. I want you to rule over it. And God made a real special place called the Garden of Eden in the earth, because all the earth was, of course, not inhabited by anybody. And so it was, you know, there's animals and all this kind of stuff. But he created this beautiful garden called Eden. And God provided everything that Adam and Eve ever could have ever wanted or needed. Every need was met. They're created in the likeness of God. They had fellowship with God. The scripture says he walked with them in the cool of the day. I don't know exactly what that means, but he had fellowship with them in the cool of the day. A deceiver came into that garden and told them they were not like God. And they said, if you'll eat this tree that God said that you're not supposed to eat of, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if you'll eat it, then you'll be like God. And they believed the deceiver. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil against God's will. That was the serpent's lie, because they were already like God. Now being deceived, they consumed this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the first Adam, Adam and Eve, they did this. God, not your will, but my will be done. That's what happened in the first garden. Immediately, this opened them up to darkness they'd never known before. Instantly, they started judging one another. There's only two of them. They judged one another. They blamed one another. They experienced shame, guilt, fear, failure, condemnation, and regret. They'd never experienced that before. All those things I just mentioned to you, fear, condemnation, guilt, shame, regret, all those things could all be packaged under one word, death. They experienced death. God said the day you eat of that tree is the day you will die. They experienced death. It started affecting them physically, emotionally, and it started ruining everything that God had given them that was good. And so they were experiencing death. Disease eventually came in as a result through that open door. Their bodies experienced physical death. Evil entered the world, the planet. And we as a human race took on the same identity as the first Adam. We took on the identity of now a sinner against God, in rebellion against God. We were born with it now. We were born with this identity. We were born with this nature. But there was another Adam to come. Hallelujah. And you can read about it if you got your Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:45-46. If you don't have it, I'll read it for you. It won't be on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. He became a soul. The first Adam became a living soul. Then it goes on to say, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now the last thing, he said, what are you talking about, the last Adam? The first Adam was powerful. He was given power and dominion over all the earth. The second Adam is known as Jesus, God who became flesh, a man, Jesus, Hebrew Yeshua. He too went to a garden, but not the Garden of Eden. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the second Adam did it right, like it was supposed to be in the beginning. The second Adam in the garden said, not my will, but your will be done, like it was supposed to be. And because of that, and he went to the cross, he took all the sin, all the fear, all the sickness, all the disease, all the death that the first Adam opened up everything to, and he bore it on the cross, and he died. And death's power died on the cross when Jesus said, it is finished. I have paid for. I have borne it for you so you don't have to bear it. And now those who are born of the spirit of the second Adam or Jesus, now we have a new identity. We're not sinner. We're saint or separated from sin. Hallelujah. And all through the epistles, we see this phrase, in Christ Jesus. And that's talking about our position. That's where we are now. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you're saved. in Christ Jesus. You're born of the Spirit of God. Now God sees you in Christ Jesus. Just like this marker, I take this marker and I put it in my shirt pocket. You don't see it because it's in my shirt pocket. And when we're in Christ Jesus, you don't see your sin, because in Christ Jesus, there is no sin. The sin's taken away. And so now we're to live our lives in Christ Jesus, which is by the Spirit, not the soul of man, but by the Spirit of God. And so our whole purpose of being here in this life now is to glorify or make God known to the world through our lives, that He lives in us. And as He lives in us, we were born of the Spirit. Now people can see what God is like by looking at us. Yeah. When you're in the Spirit, when you're in the Spirit and in Christ Jesus and being led by the Spirit of God, you won't make a mistake. If you're in the Spirit when you're born again, when you're walking after the Spirit, you're letting the Spirit lead you, and you're following the Spirit's lead, you will not make a mistake. Because He didn't make any mistake. We exist to show the world what God looks like. We exist. Why we're here. To show the world what God looks like. When Jesus walked on the earth in the flesh, He was here to show the world what God looked like. He left and He said, I'm going to give you my Spirit. The same Spirit that I have is going to be in you. And when you're after the Spirit or in the Spirit, you are here to show the world, this is what God looks like. This is what perfect love looks like. You can't do that in your soul. But in the Spirit, you can. Now, I want to talk to you about something that I think I've overlooked for some reason. I didn't mean to, but just caught it. I mean, just like it came out of the blue, and I went, well, God, I've read that 100 times, but today I'm paying attention. You really mean that? And I want to show you what I'm talking about. Now, the physical body, let's talk about the physical body you have. You are wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. Your body is a gift from God. Don't talk bad about it. Don't talk bad about it, because that's God's gift to you. And you're saying, well, God, you gave me something inferior. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. Okay? So you have this physical body that is so amazing that God even put healing inside it. Your immune system is working all the time. If it didn't, you'd be dead already. See? You scratch your skin, your body instantly goes into healing mode. Repair, fix it. Your body is an amazing machine. Do you know scientists will verify this? Scientists who are not even Christian, they'll verify that the human body is capable of living 120 years. Really, it's designed to live about 120 years. But I don't think I've ever met anybody who lived to be 120 years old, but I've heard that there are a few. But your human body is such an incredible engineered machine that it could live to be 120 years. So, this is so important. I want you to see something that I saw today. Okay. Romans 12, 1. Romans, here it is on the screen. Paul is speaking by the Holy Spirit. He says, I beseech you, I urge you, brethren, talking to the Christians, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, if you're not careful, you'll go, yeah, I know that already. Teach me something I don't know. No. Slow down. This is something really important, and it's going to help you. He's talking about your body, the physical part of you that is not you, but you live in it. It's your earth house. It's your earth suit. Okay? And God is saying, "This is. I want you to do this with your physical body." What does he want us to do? Present it to God. How do you present it to God? I mean, how do you? He says, "I want you to present this thing to me." Now, we do this here in this church when parents have a little child, usually on Mother's Day, we usually have baby dedication. And so the parents come forward and, you know, they have the little baby all dressed up and all the grandparents, everybody's here, and it's a wonderful thing to, and then I kind of lead them into understanding that, okay, you want to dedicate this child to the Lord, right? Yes, we do. We recognize this child's a gift from God, and we want to give this child back to God, which is a very good thing to do. Okay, even Jesus, his parents dedicated him as after circumcision, after 8 days. That was kind of the Jewish custom. So what are they doing when they dedicate this child? Does that mean that this child is going to be is saved? No, a child not old enough to even know yet. Doesn't even know anything about sin. So what's going on? They are presenting the child back to God, and they are saying, we recognize our responsibility before God to train this child up, to teach this child about the Lord, and to raise this child up as best we can to know the Lord. It's a gift from God. It's our responsibility to do that. Okay? Now, take that now and think of it this way. Your physical body, God is saying, I want you to dedicate your body to me in the same way. Well, what do you mean, God? I want you to recognize this body is a gift from God. Thank you for this gift, God. I apologize for complaining about it, wishing I was taller, wishing I had a different nose, wishing I had more hair, wishing I had different skin, different color eyes, or whatever. You made me the way I am. That's because you wanted me this way. I thank you. It's a gift from God. Thank you for my body. Thank you for that. And now I recognize it. It is my responsibility to take care of this body and to train this body to serve the Lord. Are you with me? Are you understanding? Now God is saying, I want you to do this with your body. Just like we would dedicate a child, I want you to dedicate your body. Now what's that going to look like? Well, in medieval times, they got a hold of some error. They were taught error. They used to think that the body was evil. See, that's what they used to think. And so they would do things, and even today it's carried over into some religions. There's even a sect of the Catholic Church, not the Catholic Church, but a sect of the Catholic Church down in South America that believes the body's evil and that it needs to be beat into control. And I mean, they're very serious about this. And they actually, it's called flagellation. They will whip their bodies. They'll beat their body. They'll crawl on certain stairs in Rome, over in Rome. Now, this is South America, but it's a similar group. That they crawl on their knees until their knees are bloody to go up these stairs that they say these were the stairs that Jesus went up to when he was seeing Pontius Pilate. And so they think that somehow by, you know, torturing the body and going on these stairs up there and getting all bloody, that somehow that draws them closer to God. See? And the people down in South America, they beat themselves black and blue and bloody. It's a ceremony that they actually do every year. I've actually shown some pictures of this here before. You've been here for a few years, you probably remember that. And they're very serious about that. And they think by doing this to the body that they're actually drawing closer to God. There a lot of the Native American stuff. You have to be careful with stuff. Native American Indians, some of them have in their religious form of worship of the Great Spirit or God is some form of where they got to, you know, bring harm to the body. They hurt the body because they say the body's evil. The spirit is good and the body is evil, you know. And even in Hindus, not Christian people, in the Hindu religion, they do things called piercing the body and doing things to harm the body in an attempt to bring it into control. I mean, just bizarre behavior. But it actually goes on even today. But God doesn't teach us to do this to our body. He teaches us to dedicate our body to God. That's what he says, dedicate it. Now, we don't worship the body. We worship God. But we worship God and we take care of this body. Okay. Now, we need to take the Word of God very serious about dedicating. And we're going to do this tonight. And you can participate if you want to. And in presenting our bodies to God. I've said before I dedicate my body, but never like a formal thing, like a child. I'm going to dedicate my body to the Lord. You say, well, what difference would it make? Well, we'll get into that in just a moment. What's it going to look like practically when you dedicate your body to the Lord? Well, number one, you'll take care of your body as a temple of God. That's what the Scripture says it is. See, this building is not the church. It's just a building. It's a church building that the church, the body, the people come together in. And we worship God here. And it's to be taken care of. And it should be treated with respect. It should be treated as a special place. It's not the place where we lay around and kick up our feet and watch television and just do things that we would some other place. You know, it's to be a place of honor that we honor God. So we need to take care of this building. In the same way, you need to take care of your body. And people who are not even lost are conscious of they need to take care of their body. They're wanting to take care of their body for themselves. But we need to see we need to take care of the body because it's a temple of God. And when we do it right, it's an act of worship. Eating the right food, for example. You may need to change your eating habits. May need to change your work habits. May need to change your rest habits. When you start seeing the body as something that God says, I want your body dedicated to me, and you see this as an act of worship, then you will start changing your eating habits. See? You won't just eat anything you want. You want to put good fuel in your body. See, when your body is broken or when your body is sick, it does not glorify God. It's a hindrance to you. You can't complete the journey that God has for you to complete. Because you're either too tired or you're too sick or you can't function. And so it doesn't glorify God. You can die before your time. And I want to present to you that I think most people die before their time. I'm not talking about just accidents and things like that happen in the world. But I'm talking about they die before the time because they open the doors for sickness and disease that they could have closed. They just don't take care of their bodies. And as a result of that, they open the doors for the enemy to come in to cause sickness and disease. And they shorten their lives. Actually, they're taking their own life. Some people are actually digging their own grave with a fork and a knife and a spoon. I'm not talking bad about anybody here. I'm just saying you need to take this more serious. Your body needs more tender, loving care as a temple of God and out of reverence for what God says it is. See, let's take, for example, someone comes in here and they get saved, but they're a drug addict. I mean, they're addicted to drugs. Maybe prescription drug, maybe illegal drug, whatever it is. They're addicted. And they get saved, and then their spirit is saved. They got Jesus in their spirit. No question. Their spirit is saved. They're going to heaven if they die. But now they got trouble with their body. Just because they got saved doesn't mean the addiction went away. They got an addiction. It's in their flesh. It's like a hook, a fish hook. It's in their flesh. And they need help with that. And it's a lot of things that we call demons. Oh, they got a demon. It's really just the flesh. It's the flesh. Now, demons could be influencing that. Don't get me wrong. But primarily, it's the flesh that needs to be brought under control. And if it's not brought under control, you can die early because you abuse this body and be a Christian, and you die. Die before your time. So let's say a drug addict comes in here. He gets saved. Praise God, he gets saved. And he comes up. He comes in front of the church and confesses his sin. And he says, I want to stop this drug addiction. I want to stop it. I want to be free of it. And we pray for him. And God is there to help him, and we're there to help him. He's still got to deal with his body. There are some battles that other people can't fight for you. See, I heard this story some years ago of a man who was addicted to smoking cigarettes. That's a very hard addiction. And if you are, we're not condemning you. You're just going to get some help here maybe with this tonight. There was this man who was addicted to cigarettes, and he was a saved man. He was born again. He tried everything, and it just seemed like he couldn't get free of it. It was a strong addiction in his flesh. And the preacher told him, said, you know what you need to do is you need to make a formal dedication of your body to God. Formal. Public. Let it be known. Let it be some kind of ceremony where you step in and say that I am giving my body back to you, God. I see it as a temple where you dwell, where you live. And then he told him, now I want you to go home and put a picture of Jesus on the wall. And whenever you're tempted to smoke a cigarette, and even if you break down, I want you to take a cigarette and I want you to tape it to the mouth of Jesus on that picture. And the guy came back and he said, preacher, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. And you know what? He got free. Because when he was putting it in his mouth, he was putting it on Jesus. Because his body is just the temple. Where's Jesus? He's inside you. And he got free. He got free because he began to see how important it is to dedicate the body. And he stopped smoking, and he felt better than he ever did in his life, and he got much healthier. About 3 weeks ago, I started taking back control over my body. I started realizing this thing's getting out of control. I was about 215 pounds, which is way too much for my size. And I didn't feel good. And I was enlarging my territory, but not in a good way. And so I started taking back that ground and saying, no, I'm quit eating so much and not going to eat it late at night like I like to do. I'm going to drink more water. I started stretching. I feel better physically when I do that. And I was exercising, all that stuff. And so I just started taking back control over that. And see, your body is like a wild stallion. At least mine is. It's like a wild stallion. It'll take off before you even realize, and boom, there it goes. I could eat a bag of chips and a bag of cookies, I mean, like that, and didn't even realize that I ate it. It's a wild stallion. It'll get away from you real fast. That's my point. Paul said we got to do this. He said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, He says, I buffet my body, not buffet my body. I've done that. That's not the right. I buffet means I discipline my body like a trained athlete. I make my body what? What does it say? This body is my servant. I don't serve it. It serves me. Who's the boss of this body? Who's the boss of your body? You need to answer that question. Now, if the body were not important, then God would not tell us to dedicate it to Him and present it to Him. But apparently it's very, very important. Now, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to. The human body was intended by God to be aware of the presence of God, even in the flesh. David, King David, said this in Psalm 84. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. My heart and my flesh. Now, he's not even born again. He's in the old covenant. But he must have experienced God, God's touch, God's love, something of God in his physical body that he recognized. When we began to sing tonight, that first song, I felt the physical touch of the Lord on my body, on my flesh, when we started singing that song. Got my attention. Because I've had that before, and I go, woo, oh, yay, oh, yeah. Just keep on, Lord, keep on. Keep on. My flesh picked up on God's presence. He was pleased. And he made his presence known. Even my flesh picked up on that, which gave me great confirmation to preach this message for you tonight. Now, I just noticed this scripture. Just give me a couple more minutes here. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That word living in the Hebrew is chi, like lechaim. It means life. He's the alive God. It literally means running water, refreshing, restoration, like we were singing in the song tonight. The refreshing, life-giving presence of God even comes upon your flesh, your body. That's what I felt right here. I don't know if anybody else did or not, but I did. Now, what can we do with that? Hebrews 5:14 says this. It reveals one of the marks of Christian maturity that you're growing in the Lord is this. He says in Hebrews 5:14, that we should have our senses, our physical senses, trained to discern between good and evil. Our physical senses, your five physical senses, you know, sight, hearing, taste, smell, touch. Your physical senses can be trained to discern good and evil. Your physical body, under the control of the spirit, the inner man, will serve you well and can be trained to discern good and evil. Now, for example, quickly, I have physically smelled what I would call the presence of Jesus. Not very often, but I have. And it smelled like a bouquet of fresh flowers. When there was no flowers around or no fragrance in the room, no one's perfume, was in a place where there was obviously there was nothing around that I could have picked up on that, you know, just something in the air. I have physically felt that or smelled that. I've also known the cold chill on my flesh when the presence of evil was there on a hot summer day when there wasn't a cool breeze of air anywhere. And it was evil, and my flesh picked up on that. I have seen, and I say all this because you probably have too, I have seen out of the corner of my eye demons flash by like a, and make you go, and then there's nothing there. Now, I didn't see the, you know, I could, but I knew what it was. My physical body, and my point is this, my physical body was aware. It was aware of spiritual things. Now, everybody needs to get control of your body. Now, please understand me. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that I think everybody needs to be feeling God's presence. I'm not talking about that. That's not my point. The point is, pay attention. Pay attention, you'll learn. Pay attention. Your body is made to pick up on sometimes good and evil. And it does. And it's there to help you. And when you encounter God, there many times you may have a physical sensation. Don't look for that. And when you encounter evil, your body may pick up on. See. It may take years, but your body can be trained like a trained athlete to help you walk in the Spirit. Now, the place to begin is tonight where we are. I believe that out of this scripture of Romans 12 tonight, I'm going to do this, and you can if you want to. I believe there ought to be a time where we make a formal presentation of our body to God. Now, I've said it with my words before, my private time and stuff, but I want to do it formally in front of everybody. Not that I need to give a speech or you need to give a speech, but I'm going to ask, are you doing the keyboard, Allie? Would you mind, please? I just think it ought to be a formal time between you and God where you recognize this body was given to me by God. Now I'm going to formally dedicate it back to Him. And I'm going to change whatever He's showing me I need to change. Eating habits, exercise, sleep habits, whatever. You know, I'm going to do this. And God's going to help you. Because He wants you healthy. He wants your body healthy. And your part's going to be to dedicate your body to God and then commit to realize and remember it's a temple. It's God's temple. I'm going to take better care of it, you see. You see, when the body is dedicated to God and the mind gets renewed, which that's what you're working on now, then your whole life will be transformed. It'll be a radical change. Radical change. So everybody, please stand up. And I would invite you right now just to, if you want to, no one has to do this, but why don't you just come to the altar? Just come up here to the altar and just stand just between you and God. And talk to God about some truth you heard tonight. Just talk to Him about it. I mean, it's wonderful to see you all respond, but now really do business here. Really take it to heart. Really do business. And just in your own words, in your own way, just dedicate your body back to God.